I actually don't know, and maybe you do, and I'm sure we could ask one of the coaches or something. When do they actually start? When do they get on the field and start practicing? Because it's not too long from now.
No,
I mean, we're the 17th of July
now. Well, Kirby said they're back in the office on Monday, so
okay.
I'm going to assume that like summer practice starts. 2 weeks from
it's
now?
Usually it right around the same time as the NFL, maybe a week later or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that it starts pretty soon when you got to get in that grind because, you know, games start with late August. Well,
everybody's first game is August 30th, August 31st, something like that. So end of August, you're playing.
Yeah, so I would assume you would want at least a month of, that sounds so long, a month of summer practices and everything like that.
What was it like when you played? Is that longer than when you guys were getting ready?
Man, it was so long ago. When I was at Georgia, we were on quarters, and we weren't on semesters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were on quarters when I first got
to Georgia. So you started later in September.
We started later, but we were there. It's like we were there forever.
Sure.
It's like we were in Athens forever.
Yeah, we were on quarters too.
And we played three games before the students even came back.
Yep. That's why I always remember the first couple games of the year, it'd be hit or miss crowd wise, just because not all the students were back on campus yet. Yeah, semesters are way better for non conference college football.
You got to get this work in because if we talk about the school that I root for, there's a lot of questions, but I think they're silent, like just don't know questions. I think Georgia has a very, very talented football team. They have an elite coach, elite motivator to get these guys right. But I think just more than anything, it's just the unknown.
If it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and we were talking about this Georgia team with all of the unknowns, then I might be concerned about them.
Right.
But because it's just the reality of college football right now, where almost every team coming in, I mean, there's a couple teams that may be a little bit more familiar with what they're returning and a little bit at certain positions, but everybody's that I mean, that's when we talked to Kirby on Tuesday. He was like, the biggest difference now, the hardest part for me to accept is like our leaders are 2 years in, 3 years in. Our veterans are sophomores, and it's just, you know, it's hard for them, obviously, because he expects the level to be up here, but you also have to be realistic about the fact that this is this guy's 13th college football game.
Yes.
He might not be as good as somebody who's played 50 college football games who would have been in the same spot 5 years ago.
And the thing is, it's not the talent part. Because the talent,
their talent is
just the experience of being in those spots. But I always talk about this. Everybody was one at some point. Everybody was a sophomore at some point. Everybody was making their first start at some point.
Right.
I mean, it's all about continually to build on what you've put out there whenever. A lot of times, I had a coach I was talking about, just translate it from practice. You practice your ass off, just play your ass off. Now, it's completely different because all the coaches are on the sideline, and, you know, you're playing against another guy that is not your teammate sometimes. And so you always got to take that into an account and things like that. But, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, since we've been here and talking heads and all those different things, it seems like they need Texas to win. Meaning, because they put all this money and because they're doing all this thing, and they're always.
Who does?
I think a lot of. I'm not saying that SEC needs Texas to win. To me, it seems like everybody's picking Texas
to win. Okay, I got it. I get what you're saying.
Because of all the money they spend.
Sure.
Especially who their quarterback is and things like that.
It's also the only next thing they can do.
That's it.
You know, like with Sark so far in his trajectory, I mean, they've kind of taken an extra step every single year. Last year, they won a college football playoff game. The year before that, they got into the college football playoff.
So it's always seemed like it's the next step.
The next step is just having a quarterback who really is that guy.
Right.
And we'll see. And winning a national championship. And again, we'll see. Like, there's a lot of really good coaches across the country, active and recently not active, that couldn't win national championships.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's hard.
To win a national championship.
It's hard. I mean, but you look at all the teams and you know, you look at, let's just say, the many top four teams right now. You got Texas.
Uh-huh.
Got Penn State,
uh-huh.
And I mean, where's James Franklin? I mean, he needs
same thing.
He needs to win one like that. So you look at those guys, and then you got some old, just look like they're going to bounce back and be a threat. Clemson, I think they're going.
Yep.
I think they're going to be so damn.
I've heard multiple people that, you know, you believe what they say, care about what they say. They think they should be the preseason number one.
They are.
Penn State might be, Clemson might be, but Texas might
be. And then, you know, I'm not saying they're a top team, but can Notre Dame build off all the you know, the good credit they got last year? Mm-hmm. So, and then I know we'll probably do this later on. And then yesterday we were talking, or it might have been Tuesday, we were mentioning, like, who's going to be this year's Indiana? Who's going to be this year's Arizona State? can money buy you things? Texas Tech. You know, they're going out and spending a bunch of money on these players and everything like that. Can that – because that's always what people talk about with Ohio State. They had the highest paid roster in ball. Yeah, they had the highest paid roster, but they had the highest paid talent roster.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of that was retention.
Yes.
You know, it was guys that
balled. That was the biggest thing.
And then got offers from other places.
Yes.
And then the reason why they had to spend all that money was to outbid the other teams trying to poach their roster.
Yeah.
And again, you know, some guys left still.
Yeah.
There was various talented players that left off Ohio State. They paid the right guys.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you know, say, look, everybody's spending money. So that's not a criticism. That's nothing. Like,
no.
I don't understand anybody that wants to knock another program for being like, well, they just spend money. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
it's legal now, but also everyone's always done that. Ohio State paid it off.
Yeah.
They won the national championship.
Yep.
So
all worth it.
It's all worth it.
All worth it.
It's all worth it.
Even if they fall off a cliff, you got that one.
Exactly.
And they're never going to fall off a cliff.
No, they're not going to fall
Ohio
off a cliff.
State.
They're not going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they beat Michigan, probably, from their fan base perspective.
Yeah.
Because, again, if it wasn't the 12-team college playoff last year,
they would
have a new head coach
yes,
this year.
No
like
doubt.
Ryan Day would have got fired
yes.
after losing to Michigan because
yes.
they would have missed the college football
yes.
playoff. Now they get in, obviously, because it's 12, and they deserve to get in. They're a really good team, and then
yes.
they went on a run and blew the doors off everybody pretty much. But, yeah, I mean, that's what it is ultimately. I mean, we talk about that in the NFL a lot with, like, the Rams and Tom Brady and Tampa and stuff. It's like, yeah, I mean, they had to move mountains to get it there, and maybe they paid for it on the back end for a couple years, but they got the trophy.
But, yeah,
so it worked out.
They got the damn trophy, blanked them picks. Now they're using those picks, and they're rebuilding this roster. And talking about the Rams, they got an elite head coach because Sean McVay is an elite head coach, and they got the quarterback.
Remember when the Braves won the World Series the way that they did, and then people wanted to, like, nitpick and say it was the most – what? It's like, whatever. Like – nothing better than having a championship and then having to listen to haters try
yes.
to deteriorate
yeah.
it, detract from it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Because the trophy's here.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want.
You see that trophy case over there?
Yeah. I can't. I would love nothing more than for people to try to, like, you know, poke holes in a Falcons Super Bowl.
Yeah, because the trophy don't say
because from our perspective, we don't see those holes.
Hell no. The trophy never says you won this because so-and-so got hurt or
no.
this team got bounced up. No, it don't say that. It says champion.
Exactly right.
That's all the damn matters. And we talk about all that all the time when we talk about the Falcons. You let them damn Falcons win a damn champion, Super Bowl championship. And it never – ain't no city that's ever won a championship a be like Atlanta if the Falcons win one.
Just the
– nothing.
The dream of all dreams.
Nothing.
Just like – I.
Nothing.
You get caught up daydreaming about it, you know? How much fun it would be. We'd broadcast from
the damn float.
You think we've been on a tour this week?
Yeah.
We'd be everywhere that
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
no. For weeks.
Yeah, man. I'm just saying. We will be on the float.
The amount of credit that would build up.
Yeah.
That would be glorious.
Yeah, man.
As for today, as we broadcast live from SEC Media Days, day four, today you got Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz was up there earlier. Actually said some interesting stuff, which nice because no one else has all week.
Right.
It has become –
what not to
the
say.
Most boring, like, it's just a performance and who can say the least.
Yeah.
And I guess I get it because what's the point of making headlines? Not that it matters. Like,
right.
You could, if you say some interesting stuff and your team's good, great. If you say some interesting stuff and your team's bad, great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get it. They're all media trained, and it's the point is to not make a headline or whatever. Drinkwitz wasn't following that rule. He's up there making Epstein
yeah.
jokes.
Yeah.
He's like, all right.
All right. There's a time and a place. That's
okay.
All I'll always say. Time and a place, Eli. But, I mean, they're in a situation where, you know, aren't they back-to-back 10-win years?
Yeah, he's won 22 games
yeah.
in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so you
he can make jokes.
He can make jokes and things like that. He got a couple of transfer quarterbacks in. And, you know, he's in a situation where 3 years ago they were talking about firing this dude.
We sat here
yeah.
at SEC Media
yeah.
Days 3 years ago and we're like, he's going to have to win some games.
Yeah.
And they went on to win, I think, 10 games that year. And then they were really good again last year, too. The other thing about them this year is, and who knows, like, it's hard to say before the season starts, especially in this day and age in college football when so much is different. But the way it looks, they have a pretty favorable schedule.
Oh, yeah.
They avoid some of the
yeah.
toughest road trips
yes.
and some of the toughest teams in the conference. And who knows, man? Like, I think we saw a number of teams in a 12-team playoff last year be able to navigate – a slightly easier path to the playoff. Maybe Missouri is one of those teams.
They could
be.
They could be because, again, their schedule lines up for them to be successful.
Let me get out my little pocket schedule.
Your pocket, they're built in a situation where they don't have a lot of tough games. They got one of the easier schedules in conference.
They got to go to South Carolina.
Which is an L.
Which is a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. This will be a good game. I think that'll be a good game. And then they got Alabama at home.
Okay. Trap game.
They got Texas A&M at home.
Okay.
Oklahoma in Oklahoma, second to last game of the year.
Okay.
And then Arkansas in Fayetteville.
Okay.
But, I mean, Arkansas, you know. I don't know.
What you saying?
Too worried about.
Yeah, I mean
Arkansas. Hopefully, yeah. I hope Sam Pittman's still the coach in that game.
I mean, I love Sam.
That's my hope for him and them.
You know how me and everybody feels about Coach Pittman, and you know it's a situation where you just thought last year was going to be that. You know, it was going to be the end of it.
Yeah. Why wasn't it?
I don't know. Go back to what Kirby.
Because they weren't very good.
Think about what Kirby was told us about the coaches and not firing
maybe
them.
Maybe that's it.
You know, it's buyout.
Everybody tells me, though, whenever we talk about which team has money and all that kind of stuff, everybody always starts talking about Arkansas's chicken.
Well, they got a chicken man,
chicken
Jerry Jones.
And Walmart.
They got the chicken man, they got Jerry Jones, and they got Walmart.
Doesn't seem to matter.
So they got bread on top of bread on top of bread.
Well, good. They haven't been in a bowl game in a couple years.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm just saying, like, damn, that's a lot of money amongst them. But how much do you give? Because that's going to
not be, enough, I guess.
But that's going to be the leveling out of it when these guys and these donors stop wanting to get this money. You know, that's going to be that. That's going to be the one.
Yeah, but those guys, you know, they got endless money.
You know who don't like to give away money? People with endless of it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walmart, just sell some more lawn chairs.
Like cats who
give me a wide receiver.
Like cats who still got all this money in the world, right? They make all this money, but yet their check is signed by somebody because you're still an employee of somebody. Like these people, they don't answer nobody, but they don't like to give away their money. That's why they all can say billionaires.
Just make an app or something, you know?
Everybody say billionaires.
Everybody likes chicken.
How can you not?
Shout out to, by the way, I don't know if this is the Arkansas chicken or whatever, but shout out to Sanderson Farms,
the
official chicken of the SEC. You hear that?
New tongs.
Fresh tongs. Fresh grilling tongs for the house. We got all kinds of cool free stuff. Matt Flynn hooked it up with a
nice shirt.
With a cool hat.
Yeah, man. It's a hydration company. He gave me one of them hydration packs.
Yeah, he was like, it might not fit you. I have a big-ass head. And I was like, don't worry, Matt.
And my man Gordo got some, too.
You're in good company, Matt. In the big head crew, this hat fits me perfect. Can't wait to wear it on the golf course or wherever. You know, it's an everywhere hat. That's a formal wear hat, really.
No.
But it's nice, though, thanks to Matt Flynn. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending, maybe, or maybe Jacob Hester's going to join us.
Yeah, I think Jacob's going to.
Who knows what might happen? We're live at SEC Media Days. We're crazy. It's Trillville Thursday. You're going to find out next with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you really do that right there, Bo?
You knew he was gonna.
Really? Really?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here live from SEC Media Days. Day four, our number one of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Jacob Hester sitting down with us right now. You probably don't know this, but our producer is an LSU diehard, so he's very happy that you're with us, and hence the fight song and all that. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fantastic. Whirlwind days here at SEC Media Days like it always is, but one of the best times of year. It's like the last final talking season. Then we kind of figure out who's who, what's going to be what. You get like maybe a week after this to kind of maybe take that last second vacation, and then you're fully in it. So, yeah. And anytime I get a chance to catch up with my guy, Randy McMichael, I'm the only person who can call him Randolph, I think. I still get away with that.
Yes, you're the only one.
You know, and look, and I allow him to wear a Liverpool hat as an Evertonian.
Yes,
like, he's the only guy that I would let do that as well.
I only wore it because I knew you were going to be here.
I know.
Yeah, that's the only reason I wore it, because I knew you were going to be here, and I know your love for Everton and everything like that. But I mean, you are a diehard through and through LSU war number 18. We know how significant that number is. So I'll get straight to the LSU questions. The first one is your coach, the coach.
Yeah.
Is he on the hot seat? Do you think? I know you can't come out and say he's, but is it a point where you know, looking over his shoulder or something like that?
I don't think so. I don't think they're at that point because they hadn't had like. a 6-win season, a 7-win season. Last year they had higher expectations than 9 wins.
Right.
But, you know, the previous 2 years before that, he won 10 games both those years. Now, y'all know just like it is in Georgia and Alabama and other places, the expectation at LSU is to win a national championship or play for one or be in the conversation every single year. I mean, the last 25 years, outside of Alabama, Ohio State and LSU are tied for the second most titles, right? So they've had success, and 3 different coaches have done it, and he hasn't done it yet. So, like, there's expectations there, Randy. You know that. They're not going away. But I don't think it's been a situation where it's been so bad and it's been so disconnected that that's starting. I mean, they're married. That contract, they're married together for a good long while. I don't say hot seat. I don't say warm seat. If they had, like, an 8-win season, I think it would get loud. Like on radio shows and message boards and social media, it would get loud. Like some of his maybe defenders would maybe turn on him then if you won like 8 games with the roster that you have, the quarterback that you have. So no hot seat. But, yeah, it'd be some uncomfortable times, I think, within the fan base.
I think we all kind of know the storyline of the 3 previous coaches won championships within their first 4 years and all of that. And I mean, that's incredible, first of all. But I think, you know, that it's an interesting talking point. I don't know, like you're talking about, whether or not that means this year has to be that or not. But just from an alumni perspective and somebody who talks about it all the time, like, do you feel like he's done a good job?
I do, because the job that he took over, and I love Coach O, man. I really do. I think 2019 is going to live as one of the most special seasons in college football history. And he was the coach of that. Like, he got that team. He was the foundation that got it together. But where the roster was, there was a lot of work to do that should never have to be done at a place like LSU, right? Randy, and you'll understand this, it was the first time that I was embarrassed to be a former player. And it was the Texas Bowl. You're playing against Kansas State, and you had 38 scholarship players, and you had a receiver playing quarterback. And look, I love John Trey Kirkland. He threw 3 touchdown passes in that thing. And hey, we were calling him, so his nickname's Chew, and we were calling him Chew Breeze by the end of it. It was fun. It was fun.
Why is his nickname Chew?
I don't even know. He's from a River Parish, and you just don't ask questions about River Parish guys. You just go about it. But, like, it was embarrassing. I'm sitting there, and I'm calling the game, and I'm like, this is an LSU. Like, Randy, can you imagine if Georgia had 38 scholarship players, right, and all of a sudden you looked up and you had a receiver playing quarterback?
It would have been bad.
Right? It'd be bad. And I hadn't felt like that ever about LSU. And that's what he took over. He was, you know, he was named head coach. He was in the booth, like, with the TV crew talking about the game. And so it took a little bit longer maybe than people expected. But I think you have to realize where it was. Now, this year, right, there's no excuses. Like, these are your players. These are – you've recruited 95, 96, 97% of these people to your campus through high school or the portal. So it's going to be a big year. That expectation goes up. But I just think where it was never going – like, I don't know that Nick Saban could have fixed it as fast, you know, as a 3-4-year period. And so now that everything's kind of fixed, now that the foundation is back, I think you have to judge him – the most critical here in this season, maybe not even last.
You were just talking about that magical year. You had a magical player quarterback.
Yep.
And according to a lot of publications you look at, you seem like you might have one now that could easily be a top 5 NFL draft pick. Tell us about that, the quarterback, because I remember because he came in the second half of the SEC game and threw for like 500 yards.
Yeah. I know.
So what is it about this young man? Because a lot of people do think highly of him.
He's a unicorn in college football. He waited his turn. He sat there. He did not go in the transfer portal. And look, the guy that does my local show with me, Matt Flynn, had the same path. He sat for 4 years because he's behind Jamarcus Russell. He got his chance his 5th year. He didn't transfer, won a national championship in his 5th year, his only season starting. Those guys, they're just not around. So I call it a unicorn. Like, they don't exist. He could have gone wherever. But his dad, NFL coach, offensive coordinator for the Saints, he knows, like, hey, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to do it like when we were in school, Randy, you signed, you redshirted, you waited, then you played.
Right.
Nobody does that anymore. But I think within him sitting and learning, he was behind some really good quarterbacks, including Jaden Daniels, right? He gets to see how a Heisman Trophy winner goes about his business. And he did have games where he'd come in and, man, you're like, oh, I see it. But he's, look, he's been developed to be a high-level quarterback by his dad, Doug Nussmeier, forever, like for as long as he's lived. Like, his dad's been a coach at either an SEC school or the NFL. And you can see that in his game, right? You can see him go through the progressions, a true pocket passer. So, I mean, Heisman Trophy, top 3 for me.
Right.
Like, and I see that, and I think anything under that would be disappointing for what the expectations are. Like, that's the level. He threw for 4,000 yards in his first year as a starter. Mm-hmm. Last year, right? That just doesn't ever – if you'd ever told me we'd have a 4,000-yard passer at LSU, I'd have told you you're on drugs, right? But he did it in his first year as a starter. So year one to year two is always that biggest jump. He's a Heisman contender. I think he'll live up to it all season long. Can they stop enough people to make it mean anything? That's going to be the question.
Jacob Hester joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some LSU football and just sort of SEC football in general. Now that it's day four and it's sort of wrapping up, feel like you've learned anything this week from anything anyone said, Greg Sankey or any of the coaches, about sort of the future of the conference and the playoff and all of that?
Yeah, who knows? In the Big Ten, the SEC, like at this standoff, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's going to be a measuring contest and who's going to blink first. Like, who knows with all that? But the thing that I guess you do know is, like, whatever is the best, the SEC is going to be in front of the best, right? And so, like, if I'm an SEC fan, if I cover the SEC, playing the SEC, I don't worry about getting left behind, basically. Yeah. So, like, are they going to be able to figure that out? That's something that we have to see. Like, as far as, like, the football portion of it, though, learning this week, the interesting thing to me is the normal teams over the last 5 years that have been dominant, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee made a playoff last year. Texas, you can even throw Ole Miss as far as wins. That is the quarterback question teams, right? And you might have it figured out. Like, I did the Sugar Bowl. I loved what Gunner did in there in moments, but, like, we don't know. We don't know about Arch Manning.
Sure.
We don't know about Austin Simmons. We don't know who's going to be a star at Alabama. And then you've got this middle portion, middle of the pack, South Carolina, Florida, LSU, Vanderbilt. They've got their guy. Right. Oklahoma, I think.
He's stud.
John Mateer.
He's a stud. Very good.
They've got it figured out. Do the top teams have it figured out? And how close do those teams get together because of that? Like, does the middle catch up and really gain some traction on those top teams? And do we see a wide-open SEC this year? No SEC team right now has a projected win total over 9.5. Georgia, Texas, and Alabama, I think, are all at 9.5. But we've always seen Georgia be like 11,
yeah,
right? Alabama's be at 10.5, whatever it might be. So that's the intriguing thing to me. Those teams that have the quarterback, how much can they gain on those top teams?
I have one more LSU question because he's one of our favorite players, Perkins. Perkins Jr. We love him, all those different things. How is he healthy, and are they going to let him rush the passer instead of dropping into coverage?
So he's going to play star, which is like a nickel Sam for us.
So no.
Well, he'll be coming off the edge, but like in a different role. Now, all right, Randy, you're going to know this better than anybody here. If you were lining up at tight end, your hand in the dirt, and you saw a 220-pound edge lined up across from you on any run play, what would you do?
Whipping ass.
Every time, right?
Yeah.
No matter how good he is, and Perkins is really good, you put him in the dirt. Every time. I know you would. I've seen you do it. I've been your teammate.
Right.
He can't live there. And that's what fans need to understand. So Jimbo Fisher is on my show every Tuesday. And I asked him on air, I was like, hey, how did y'all game plan for him? He said, if he was on the edge on first and second down, we checked run to him.
Okay.
Checked it right to him. Because you can't live, like, that's a 260, 270, 280-pound position. So he can't live there. It's on the coaching staff. Okay, well, he's not a stack backer either. Just not. That's a position. He doesn't read it like he needs to at that position. But you know what he's really good in? He is good in coverage. He's good off coming off the edge.
Uh-huh.
What position gets to do both those things?
Star.
Nickel star.
Right.
Nickel Sam. Like, whatever you want to call it. So that's what they're going to do. Like, he's going to be in coverage a bunch. He's going to come off the edge. He's going to be in press coverage, and you're going to forget about him. Here he comes. I think that's the best place for him. I think that's what he plays at the next level. And, sure, on third down, if you want to say, hey, well, let's put another DB in and put him on the line of scrimmage, that's where he gets his edge rusher reps.
We appreciate it. Jacob,
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Appreciate
hey, anything
brother.
From a man, Randy McMichael.
Appreciate you, brother.
Jacob Hester there. Also, I know you were talking before we had you jump on. We got the local show and the national show.
Yeah, dog.
We got 6 hours of radio every day.
Yeah, we do. I do
Good
OTB
Lord.
In the mornings in Baton Rouge, 7 to 10. Then I do off campus every afternoon from 2 to 5. Look, my dad's a Marine. His tagline growing up, too gritty to be pretty. We ain't worried about being pretty. We're about being gritty. So
you can't complain about it. That's a damn fullback for you right now.
Well, thanks
that's
again.
A damn fullback.
We appreciate catching up with you at SEC Media Days every single year.
Absolutely. Appreciate it,
brother. We'll grab a break
Go
here.
Braves.
Come back on the come back on the other side to get you caught up on everything that's trending here on a Trillville Thursday morning. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, we knew DJ before he dominated Texas high school football his senior year. He became the Gatorade National Player of the Year, right? So seeing the humility, seeing how he treated people, how he embraced his role in that community on that team, the steadiness. I think his parents obviously provided a great example there. But he did the same things last year as he started to kind of become a bigger, have a bigger role on the team.
So that's Billy Napier yesterday, Florida head coach, talking about one of the big obvious question mark storylines, whatever, coming into the year in the SEC. And that's all fine and good and important. Of course, it's important for him to be a humble, well-rounded, level-headed young man.
Yes.
He needs him to be healthy.
And good.
And he needs him to ball.
Yes.
Like, that's what he really needs him to do. There was a really cool video of DJ Lagway here yesterday at SEC Media Days, hanging out downstairs. It was tons of Florida fans getting his autograph. Yeah. He posed for pictures with everybody, signed everything, learned all the kids' names. Like, really cool stuff. You love it. But if those guys are going to have success this year,
it's all about him.
It's all about him and his health. And because if he's healthy, I think he's going to be really good.
I do too. I think that the thing with Florida is, you know, is now or never. And it's always that thing is, how good does he have to be in order for Napier to keep his job? Because the one thing you don't want is to see all this promise, but you're not winning games,
right,
and then they bring somebody else in. You know, and I think the thing with Lagway is you saw that in that Georgia game. And I still think we're going to win that football game, whether he's healthy or not. But, I mean, he puts so much pressure on defenses, man. He really, really does. My biggest thing is everything around him, with him. I don't have no doubt that this kid is going to be good. But what is around him in order for them to win football games? And I think that's going to be the biggest thing for Coach Napier, because he did say, and I saw the quote from him, he says it's the most talented team he's had since he's been at Florida. And I always go back to just referencing, it's freaking Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're supposed to be talented.
You're supposed to be talented. It's freaking Florida. It's freaking Florida.
Dudes everywhere down there.
And
you're supposed to be talented.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's no excuse when you talk about the recruiting aspect. It's freaking Florida. You know, and I mean, I know they got a lot of momentum going because of the just won a national championship in basketball.
Right.
And now you're.
Does that help or hurt, do you think? Like,
ooh, man.
Or matter at all? Like,
oh, man. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because I think at some schools, it might give you some, you know, like a little bit of leeway where you can relax a little bit. It's like, all right, the pressure's off me because they won in, like, at Kentucky, you know? Like, Kentucky wins the national championship at basketball, or North Carolina wins the national championship at basketball. I don't know that it does that there.
Right.
It probably just ramps it up. It's like, oh, good, they did their job, now you do yours.
Right.
Because we're a football school. Like, right?
Yeah.
We're a football school. We're not. Basketball has won more national championships over the last 25 years.
That is true. But it goes back to what I always say. It's freaking Florida.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? It's the damn Gators.
I know,
I hate them, and I can't stand them and all those different things. But I'm truthful about what it is.
Yeah. Well, and that's what sucks for them, Florida State, and Miami at all times.
Yes.
It's like, if you're bad, there's just no excuse.
Yeah, like, but I think that when you look at it, like you just said, it's like the hirings of the coaches is what happened to these teams. And because you think about the two coaches in recent memory because of what they did, they are in a situation where – Urban Meyer leaves, and you don't find an adequate replacement. I still think, as much as he has an old punchable ass face, that Dan Mullen should have. I don't think they should have cut the cord on the whole Dan Mullen. But then you had the coach that was butt naked with the shark,
supposedly.
That's him on that damn boat.
I agree with
shark.
You.
I don't care.
I agree with you.
I don't care. All right, you can say what you want to say. I don't care.
Well, I want to say that it's him.
It is him.
To me, it's important.
That man was spooning a shark. Okay, whatever. Whatever.
You can keep the headphones on. It's all right.
Oh, okay, we got company.
Zion Young sitting down with us from Missouri. He liked that one. His coach was up there telling jokes today, too.
Yeah.
Eli Drinkwitz was up there.
What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Chilling, man. It's a good day to be back home.
I know. I just put a profile from Westlake. So you're right down the road.
Right down the road.
Okay, that's good, man. How has everything been going for you this offseason? And I wanted to get your thought process on this whole situation. Is Missouri, they're talking about, well, they got the easy schedule, so they got to make.
Oh, they think we got an easy schedule?
Yeah, a lot of people saying that, man. A lot of people running around, and then my man just pulled it up. I was like, no, they got some sums on that.
Check it out, our home schedule. We're looking pretty good. I think it's going to be, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be, we got what? A&M at home.
Yep.
South Carolina at home.
Right.
We got Oklahoma away. We got Auburn away. Mm-hmm. We got, we got Vandy. Yeah, man, we what? Yeah, we got it. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know.
That's where that word on straight. Hey, Missouri got it, man. They got a lighter schedule this year of both SEC teams.
It's all right.
Is there such a thing as a light schedule in the SEC?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Any given Saturday, you will be that team. You will be that team any given Saturday. Any given Saturday. You know what I mean? If you don't prepare right, you will most definitely be that team.
You guys have had a couple of really good years in a row.
Right.
What makes you think this year can be like that?
Just what we're doing. You know, we're working extra hard. Everything we're doing is with an edge. Shout out to our strength and conditioning coach, Coach Rush. You know what I mean? He wanted me to shout him out. We've been doing everything. We've been getting 1% better every day, man. In any aspect of football, whether it's watching film, doing a little bit extra recovery, working out a little bit extra. We're just trying to, you know what I mean, trying to evolve ourselves around that area. And it's going to work out for us.
I mean, tell us about your game, because obviously it's your second year starting and everything. Right. I'm looking at your stats right now. Right. 12 tackles, lost 5 sacks, all those different things like that. You're in the ground, hand in the ground, pass rusher.
Right.
All right, what is it about you in this defense that – because last year you guys were pretty much kind of holding things together while the right. offense had some rough days.
Right. So death row defense once again. I mean, I feel as if my game, me personally, I feel like we've been doing our thing. Me personally, we've got better guys on our D-line. Dame Wilson's came in. These Georgia guys as well. Dame Wilson, Darius Smith. I know y'all big time Georgia fans probably.
Yes.
Which I don't like that. You know what I mean?
I'm a Washington Huskies Georgia fan.
Like I see that? Yeah, no, I don't like that
either.
I was at Michigan State. We played them, man.
Hold on. You went to Michigan State before you were at Michigan State, right?
Right.
You were with Mel.
Right, Mel.
Okay. How the hell did Mel get you out of Westlake?
He came right to the backyard. He came right to Westlake and got me.
Okay.
He came right to Westlake and got me. So, you know, it's just like I told the other guys, it's just like if you were sitting in front of a – it's different what you sitting in front of a manager and a real business owner. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, he's not the business owner, but it's – you get what I'm saying? So it's – I'd rather sit in front of with an owner than a guy that didn't have my position coach and another GA just – it feels better. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You feel really needed and wanted.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It solidified what you – really – your thought process.
Tell us about your current head coach, because, I mean, he like my man Andrew Great was guy. Talking about, he was holding court earlier today and everything like that. It seems like he's the type of coach where, you know what, even if other people don't like him, we'll run through a wall for him.
Right, man. Yeah, man. Coach Drinks, he's a good guy, man. Down-to-earth guy. Real stand-up guy. You know what I mean? Coach Drinks, he's very funny, but when we're on the field, it's a straight business. You know what I mean? He's a straight business guy. And like I said, I'm on the radio station now, but I see a lot of – funny jokes like Coach Drink soft. He's not like that on the ESPN. Like if it was something that happened with all the coaches fighting and all that, Coach Drink would be the last one to win.
All they're saying he can't fight.
Yeah, I 100% disagree though. I think he a dog. I think he got brothers. You know what I mean? If you got brothers, you grew up fighting or something. You know what I mean?
It's true. Especially if you're a little brother.
Exactly. So, yeah, man. Put some respect on Coach Drink.
So you think if all the SEC coaches were to rumble, he'd be fine?
He'll be fine. Wait, what? He'll be fine, you know what I mean?
He's younger than a lot of those guys. That probably helped too. Hey, let me ask you this, because you did transfer from, obviously, a big program at Michigan State
right,
to another big program at Missouri. Those are Power 5 schools, Big 10 to SEC. What's the hardest – we always talk about this era of player movement and guys transferring and all of that. We never talk about, like, what it takes for a guy to do that. Like, what's the hardest part of going from a situation in Michigan State where you were for a couple of years to then Missouri and making yourself acclimated and getting to know your teammates and all that?
You know, you just got to adjust. It's all about adjusting. You know what I mean? It's the adjustment process. You got to do just adjust. I feel as if my first day at Missouri, it was a home feeling. You get what I'm saying? Like, when I came back to move in, everybody was there. It was just more so of a home-oriented, family-oriented staff and everything they got going on, like the environment in Columbia, Missouri. So it really wasn't hard for me, you know what I mean? The coaches kind of slowed things down for me. And from there, the rest is history, you know what I mean?
I love the fact that I'm looking at your thing. And I mean, obviously, you are excellent on the football field, but in the Big Ten – You were academic all Big Ten.
Right.
Last year, you were all academic SEC, which is just freaking phenomenal, brother. So I just wanted to give you a shout out for that.
I appreciate that, big man.
What are we studying?
Communications.
Oh, that's what I studied.
What?
Yeah, look at us.
Yeah. You're good talking.
You're a good communicator yourself. Thank you for the time. We
appreciate it, brother. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Enjoy the time at home in Atlanta as well. I'm sure you will. Zion Young there, Missouri, taking some time to hang out with us. Obviously, a local kid as well from Westlake High School. Love catching up with the local kids. A lot of confidence.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. It's oozing.
Yeah.
It's oozing, man.
He's obviously doing a great job in the interview on the radio. Seems like he'd be a fun guy in the locker room.
Oh, yeah, man. He seems like that he would just be one
with
of
the guards
those.
Down a little bit. You know?
He is the guy that's keeping it light, but at the same time going to rev things up when it's go time, man. But, I mean, they're in an interesting position when you talk about where they are. Where their program is, because remember with Jacob made a great point that I mean just phenomenal talking about the where that you look at all the highly thought of teams in this conference,
yeah.
In the quarterback situation,
yes, they all have quarterback questions,
and then the middle guys, yeah. They all have established quarterbacks.
They seem to have pretty good quarterback answers,
yeah. And then you look at where Missouri is. Yep. I mean, we know about the transfer from Penn State that they got, yep. And everything, but they also have a kid that's already there. So I heard Eli this morning talking about just the battle now. A lot of times we look at coaches that don't want to name a starter when there's a competition because you always say because you don't want the guy to leave.
Yeah, there's no point in doing it.
I think Eli's in Missouri is in that situation right now with their quarterback situation. I do think the kid from Penn State is going to be the starter, but you can't say that because you don't want to lose a guy that's there already.
That's the kid that was a part of the Penn State kind of mix.
Yes,
obviously not the starter.
Yeah, but he had
plays.
And he transferred during
the playoffs.
Yes.
So, yeah, you better not tell him he's not the starter. He'll transfer right now.
Exactly.
He transferred during the college football playoff last year.
Which he didn't want to.
No, he didn't want
but
to.
But he didn't have any choice. They were like, I mean, damn, the one thing about it, them jobs ain't a lot. It ain't a lot of them.
Well, that and also, and I don't have any problem with this, but they promised him an NIL number.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that job, then you don't get that NIL number.
Right.
So, it's the job for sure, but it's also the payday that you're not going to get if somebody else takes it.
Right.
I mean, that's money that's for you if you don't take it right now. So, these are all little details that hopefully they're able to iron out over the next couple of years with some of these new rules. But, I think Missouri is really interesting because they've been – really good the last couple of years. I mean, double-digit wins in the SEC is nothing to sneeze at back-to-back years. And yet, no one really talks about them as one of those types of teams, right?
Yep.
They lost just the right amount or the wrong amount of games over the last couple of years to not quite be in the playoff conversation. You go 10-2 in the SEC, you're going to the playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is.
I mean, and that's why I should have asked because the playoff field is bigger now. It's not four teams anymore. So, I won't say it's easier to get in. I mean, I won't say it's easy to get in, but it's easier than the last one. So, if you're like one of the final 12 teams, is that a still successful season? Because you're in the playoffs. You're in the postseason. So, because that's why I was asking about the whole Brian Kelly thing. Like, okay, he's in the
– I think it depends on the school. If Missouri makes the playoff, that's a successful year.
No doubt about it.
Right?
But if LSU, they just make the playoff.
If LSU just makes the playoff and, gets smacked in the first game,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But they made the playoff.
They did. That's why. Yeah.
I think if you make the playoff, it's successful. Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, Georgia made the playoff last year and then lost their first game. It was still a successful year. They won the SEC.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I guess you didn't win the championship, but. You're not going to win the championship every year. It's not the way that it goes. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. There is some news in the NFL with a pretty big-name player signing in free agency. We also got a second-round draft pick signed.
Yeah.
Finally.
And another one.
All right, so now they're probably all going to start signing. Hour number one of the show has been brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.